Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy. Woo! And sadness. Oh. And anger. Definitely some disgust.
Rose!
And I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hi, titties and lasers.
Welcome to Cobras and Fire. I'm your host, LC, and I'm joined as sometimes often. Is that a word? Is that a phrase?
Not a popular one.
No, let's do that again. Welcome to Cobras and Fire.
We got Easter eggs already.
Yeah. Welcome to Cobras and Fire. I'm your host, LC, and I'm joined, as occasionally I am, when he's visiting, Joey Haney. How are you, sir?
Yes. Of?
Well, oh, I'm so sorry. You want the plugs right in the front.
I need a graphic.
Okay. Of Rock Strikes 10.
Yes. The non-famous Rock Strikes 10. By the way, before we get started.
Yeah.
I don't want to waste your time or anybody else's.
Sure.
Is this episode been cleared in advance? I just want to make sure because I did not know. I was listening to your 300th episode and I did not know that my first ever appearance was slightly tainted by the non-clearancing. But did you hear about, like, when you...
No, tell me.
I'm getting confused face from you, you know. So when you said I came on earlier, did the spelling out, you know, with the Cobras Fire thing?
Oh.
I was not a cleared guest by all parties considered. So I just want to make sure that this is a legal episode.
Oh, I know what you're referring
to. Is this above board?
It must be because you know, I don't think he had an issue with it, except that he brought it up again.
Yeah. No, I freaking love Baco. I love you guys. I probably say this every time I come on the show. I only go on shows that I like. Mm-hmm. And right now, definitely, you're the only podcast I'm current on.
Wow.
Including mine. Including
all right.
Mine.
You don't even listen to your own.
I do, for quality and ego.
Okay.
Quality control and ego, for sure, is the things that keep me going.
Yes. But this is your second trip to Denver, and glad to have you back.
It's glad to be back. This is a beautiful state. I mean, yeah, we're thinking of moving. We'll see what happens.
Which is awesome to hear. And yeah, so we're hanging out, and it's the night before we're going to go see a show, which we might be the tail end of this episode, which we'll get into in a little bit. But you had an idea for an episode, so I'm going to hand it to you.
Well, before all that, I thought I was just here for the Ed Sheeran review. Or do you want to do that with Baco? It might be more entertaining with Baco, honestly.
We actually just did that this morning. When it did.
Oh, okay.
That's my second show of the day.
Oh, we're in the future here.
Okay. Here we are.
No, I can't wait to hear the Ed Sheeran review. I really can't. So,
yeah. All right. Well, anything else you want to say about Ed?
Oh, your good buddy Ed. So you had posted on the Facebook about, mm-hmm. like, hey, he's got Metallica stage.
Yeah.
To which, if you're a true music nerd and historian, you would say, not that he has Def Leppard stage either, but Neil Diamond's, which I'm assuming I think that's where it started, if I'm not mistaken, because he was filling seats that hard that he had to
go. The revolving stage.
Yeah, man. And so what I'm getting at is, if you're enough of a rock nerd, you know the Def Leppard in the Round story and all the apparent debauchery that went on under the stage.
Sure.
Do you think Ed's getting Def Leppard action?
Nope, because he never left the stage.
He's being a good boy.
Yeah, he was up there. He was up there the whole time. And then the other thing is it's not just the revolving stage. It's those six or seven towers that's around the stage, two of the speakers. Yeah. That is the thing I've never seen. Okay. Or maybe you have. Have you seen that before, the M72 tour? Because I thought it was a unique setup for audio and additional video screens. They have like circular.
I think all that evolved like after the Death Magnetic tour, because they've pretty much never left the Round since they started doing that.
That's true.
But that's too bad. It's too bad he never left the stage, because that would have given into a lot of like, are red pubes more acceptable under a darkened stage?
I think so.
Let's just move on, right?
Sure. I think we should move on. But yeah, that's I'll never understand the fascination with the ginger with the middle of the road songs. But hey, whatever. So you had an idea for an episode.
Oh yeah, back to that. Yes,
yes, please.
Burying the lead. I guess that's right. I'm bringing up old news.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So the idea. I once again a self-admitted huge, massive follower of the Cobras and Fire. I'm here at Cobras, or Casa de Cobras and.
Yeah.
You still own the ampersand, right? Or is it split
now? It's actually in, I don't know what you would call it. Like, is it purgatory, or it's like nobody owns it right now? What do you call that? I'm trying to think of what you do with like a real estate deal. Oh. Is it an escrow? Is it an?
I don't know.
It's in between. Like nobody, it's equal, but neither of us can claim it.
Oh, so it's like a divorced couple that shares the kid.
Yes, that's what it is. Like it's the dog or the kid.
Okay.
You know, like that. If you're, yeah.
Except y'all aren't divorced.
You just
live in different states.
Sorry, we have equal visitation rights for the ampersand.
Okay, all right. Yeah, because I don't see it around here.
No. All right. He has it right now.
Yeah, you should get one of those at the door so it splits out when it opens. Something new to add onto the house that you've done a million renovations to. By the way, beautiful home. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh.
Okay. We take side roads in podcasts to get content.
Back to the, you had an idea for this episode, Joy.
Okay. So as a fan of the show, one of my favorite things that I heard lately is Baco throws this out and it just stuck with me the whole day, and it actually gave me a show idea, so thank you. Now, I couldn't pull off the show idea, so I figured, okay, maybe if we're going to come out here, I could split it 50-50 with Luce here.
Yeah.
So Baco made the crack that I don't think you've ever listened to the second half of a record ever. Because you always say an album's front-loaded, or it has two, three good songs.
Yeah, three or four good songs. Those are your main songs. Yeah.
So, yeah, and I guess he's like, I don't know if I ever heard you reference anything from the B-side of a vinyl, even though you own vinyl.
Yeah.
So, like, you've never listened to the second half of a record. And I was like, there's something here. So I said, there's tons of front-loaded records. The industry has basically been built on front-loaded records.
I would say even before, like now it's even, I think, more even heavier than before. Like, I think the first three songs are always your three best.
Yeah.
But before, it was still...
Yeah.
Well, in theory...
It's always been a thing, whether it's, like, just keeping it on the A side, and that's why they call it the A side, because B is less than. But streaming, don't lose interest. The whole attention span, it's never gone away.
Right.
But then I was like, what if there's backloaded records? Because I've never thought of this ever. And I was like, there's got to be some. And I figured there was at least 10 so I could do it on my show.
Mm-hmm.
Struggle. I started doing it that day when I heard that episode. I don't remember which exact episode it was, but you remember him making that statement.
Oh, absolutely. And I remember
still
that
stuck with me.
It stuck with me, and I was like, God damn it, I listened to an entire album. Like, I might lose my interest in the second half. But then I got to thinking, too, like, you threw that at me, and the only one that we could think of, if you want to bust this off.
Yeah, and I...
Let's think about it. The qualification should be, like, I'm not talking about, like, a Danko Jones album or Blue Stones. I'm talking about, like, big-ass albums, at least to our audience.
Albums that most people listening to a music podcast probably does own.
You know, like, something like, let's just say, like, Van Halen level, AC/DC, et cetera. Like, Yes. Let's start off
Thriller.
There.
Like, let's say Thriller really didn't kick off until the B-side or Purple Rain, which that's not true for any of those records. But what if there are backloaded classic albums? And the only one I thought of while I was reviewing it for my upcoming 1983 countdown plug.
Yep.
And I was on the phone with you, and we said the same thing. It was the same record.
Go ahead. Say it.
Synchronicity by The Police.
Yep. And that's the one that I instantly thought of because I had got that from it. I'm never a huge Police fan, but, you know.
But even non-fans
have that. Probably that's that record. Is that a double Diamond album?
It's
at least Diamond.
I don't think it's been certified Diamond yet.
Okay.
There's but a lot of certificates. Anyway, but it's an upper level. It's like 6, 7, 8 million. It's one of those kind of things.
Sure.
But yeah, and it should be as popular as it is. And to this moment, on any radio station in any town, satellite, whatever, Every Breath You Take is playing somewhere 10,000 different places right now.
King of Pain.
King of Pain's still very big.
What's another one?
Wrapped Around Her Fingers, the other single off of it, and to an extent, Synchronicity too.
Yep.
So, spoiler, those are all on the B-side of the album.
Yeah, and I had never owned that, and I remember getting it from that Craigslist haul and been like, what the fuck is this first side?
Yeah, because, okay, musically, scholastically, and as the band The Police, it's not a bad side per se. But it does have issues. Like, Synchronicity 1, pretty cool. It's high energy.
Sure.
It's a decent album opener. If they'd have gone from Synchronicity 1 to, like, King of Pain right afterwards or something, you know, hypothetically, it'd have been fine. But then it goes to like Walking in Your Footsteps, which is like a world music thing, which they had a world music song pretty much on every album. But second song, like that's like a sin to really try to experiment that early on in the record. And then before the side ends, and I'm not sure what number it is.
It's, yeah.
It's Mother, the fucking Mother song.
What is that?
Always went out of their way to put one joke song on each album. This is admitted. Like, we have to have like one weird song on there.
Okay.
Just because they're punks. Yeah. They're punks at heart. The first album, the great Atlantis D'Amore, has a song about fucking a rubber girl on it. That's the weird song on there. You can almost wrap your head around that one, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, because it's
sure.
The first half, it's good. The second half is weird. But Mother is Andy Summers just yelling out loud like a Norman Bates
for
type
five
character.
Minutes.
5 minutes. It's enough to where if you were going to sit down and try to get information out of someone and, you know, waterboard them, this is musical waterboarding. Play that on a loop and you'll get anything you want out of anybody.
Yeah.
It's on the A side of the record. It should be maybe like the second to last song, which is the Tom Werman method. Like, put the turkey track second to last. And then maybe close with like Wrapped Around Your Finger or something.
Yeah.
But,
and I'm going to say that this might be in popular culture the worst side A of any huge selling album is Synchronicity right now. I put it to the listeners to submit something in the rock genre or popular in general of a close to 10 million seller. I can't think of anything else that has three of my favorite songs by that band on side B.
Love to hear from those people. Find us some backloaded records because we're desperate. I'm going to throw some out here. You're going to throw some out.
Yeah.
And we got a few.
And I'm going to just say, like, in the beginning, and what I'm talking about is, like, ones that you could really argue that the second, that side B, or just the second half, if you're in the CD world, because some of this stuff came out, CD land, is that can you truly make an argument that the second half is better.
Yeah. And you know what? I'll even give you a little extra wiggle room if you want to, you know, put an asterisk on some certain title you might know of. You've always been a big proponent of track three needs to be the peak.
Yeah.
I say anything between three and five, but it's like, let's go four to five tracks on, like, even in CD or streaming, like.
Oh, so you're like, even going to say not the perfect split, just like.
Maybe not that. A perfect split, because I think that I tried, I flipped almost every record that I own, and I got a few of them. I looked at the back of almost every record I own, and I'm looking at the B-side, and every time I'm just like, either it's a bad record, and every right. song sucks, or every other song is good, and the every other song sucks. But there is no like second half bangers out there.
I'm just saying. Like for example, even your favorite album. Let's say that just to throw some monsters out there real quick.
Sure.
Van Halen 1, 1984, for example.
Perfect
like,
albums.
Like if I was gonna say, you know what, I really like I'll Wait and. I don't know. I'm a big fan of what's the last track on that album that's a real rocker?
House of Pain.
Like Good Girl Gone Bad. Yeah.
Girl Gone Bad.
But even if I like them as deep tracks, can I really say that side is better than the first side that has Panama?
No, because you're alone. Yeah, because you're getting into singles brain. You know, you're getting into singles brain. Like, it's okay. Like we mentioned Synchronicity, like almost all of those singles are in that second half,
right?
Which is what makes it great at the same time. But they're just the better songs.
They're better songs. That's my point. Yeah. It's like that same thing with like if Appetite. I was like, you know what, second half of Appetite, love Rocket Queen, Sweet Child of Mine is on the second side. You know that's the biggest song. But fuck that. It's got Brownstone. It's got Welcome to the Jungle, Out to Get Me. You can't make that argument. No. That's what we're talking about, the qualifications for this.
I almost said Illusion 2 might be a back-ended record. I thought about that. I was like, there's enough stuff I like on the front half of it.
But that one's even super hard because
the second half
many tracks too.
Yeah, but the second half might be a little better on it, but it doesn't make it like it's not over the top better is what I'm getting at. So that's why I struggled with this, because I'm a perfectionist when it comes to these lists. And the fact that I only came up, we have a shared one here with Synchronicity, but I only came up with two unique ones on my own.
When you start doing the research, you know, you just grab your iTunes or your vinyl collection or whatever like that, and you start flicking through it. And if you want to go alphabetical, I even started with like AC/DC. AC/DC has never had an album where the second half is better than the first. They front-loaded all those motherfuckers.
Yeah, and then my least favorite AC/DC album, I call it a shit sandwich, because my least favorite's Ball Breaker, and I always have to go public with this.
Yeah.
My least favorite's Ball Breaker, but the first and last songs are great. Everything else sucks for me.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they involve hard dicks and balls, right?
Yeah,
Ball Breakers and Hard as a Rock. Hard isn't that the two? Yeah.
Yeah, pretty. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Creative. Low point for them, and that's saying something.
But front loading a record makes sense for them. But at the same time, like, you go through the AC/DC Motorhead catalog, they're at least decently consistent, because that's the joke on those bands that even journalists like to talk about, is they make the same records and same songs. So who's to say, like, you know,
so here's
pedestrian stuff.
So here's one, right? So here's even like like bigger albums. Let's just throw the big one there and. You know, the elephant in the room or whatever, Kiss. Like, does Kiss have a second half studio album that's better than the first?
That's one of the ones on my list.
Nice. Okay, because I did not actually take the time to look through all that one today preparing for this episode. Yes. So bring it.
Do you want a pre-guess? Do you want to do Family Feud? Do you want to see if you can get in three strikes? Is that gonna make
it? No. Let me think on this for a second. I'm just trying to think of.
Now I'm gonna go ahead and.
Here's my question: Is it of their first six?
That's asking too much.
Is it asking too much? Okay,
we're playing along. Let's build up.
Yeah.
But I gotta say, okay. That being said, if you don't know anything,
could it be a live album where you're considering the second half?
Straight studio.
Three and four. Okay,
straight studio. If you don't know anything about me, just real quick qualifications. Big Kiss fan. I've always said Kiss Army, Kiss Navy. I've been on a Kiss cruise. I'm a fan. And I actually still like the first half of this record, but I'm for the push, I'm making the argument that this is a massively backloaded record.
Yeah, because I'll just throw mine out real quick. So it's for me, it can't. Man, I think
that's your laundry.
Yeah, it's doing a little song.
Is this public domain?
Yeah, it's public domain song.
As long as it's public domain, we're good.
Yeah, I okay. So even it's though
like the Jeopardy music almost.
So even no, because it can't be Love Gun because I Stole Your Love is on the first side.
Yeah,
and you period. Can't, you can't and. So and Shock Me, and you can't. And it ends with she kissed me or whatever. So that disqualifies it. Okay, Destroyer. It can't be Destroyer because the first three songs alone win.
Okay, I'm gonna say you're in the. It's in the first six. You are narrowing it down.
All right, yeah. Man, Dress to Kill. I'm trying to think of the track listing.
You got it.
That's it?
You said it.
Okay.
It's Just a Kill.
Okay.
So let's say, I think they're fun songs, that first A side. Okay, so I can do this in order. I know all the orders here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Room Service.
Right.
Two Timer, Ladies in Waiting, Getaway, and Rock Bottom. Yeah, but that's at the very end of the side. So I can almost say that first half is not nearly as good as the second half. And like I said, Rock Bottom's a push. I really like Rock Bottom.
Hold on. Now let me think about how this goes.
How's it going?
Okay, so I think that the first track is "Come On and Love Me."
It is.
Okay. Boom. Then it has. Is it Anything for My Baby or is it?
Is it Anything for My Baby?
Anything for My Baby. Hold on. She.
Yep.
Love Her All I Can.
Yeah, and it ends of course,
Rock. Okay, you know what? That one qualifies because those two Simmons songs are pretty fucking weak. I like Two Timer.
They are.
But Ladies in Waiting is horrible.
Ladies in Waiting is a terrible song, but I still like it. It's
you like going to the market? Seeing
what the meat market.
Meat market?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, also, I'm a little biased towards Ladies in Waiting because it's one of the only songs I can play on the drum set top to bottom.
All right.
And that being said, they're fun little stupid songs, but that second half is great.
You know? Yeah, the only other one that I was thinking of was maybe the debut, but then only because Deuce is on the second side, right?
Yeah,
is that? But then it, yeah. But then you have Love Thin Pieces. But it does have Black Diamond too.
No, it's
right.
It's,
on that, that's
yeah.
That's,
Black Diamond's a close.
But then it has Strut. Yeah. So that would be the only one that would be close to that. But that, no, I actually will agree with that statement because fucking She right there. You have She.
I mean, you think about the gym. I mean, I guess now I think more people and more fans even love Her All I Can more because of the Anthrax cover, and that definitely helped for me too.
Really? I just loved it because it was just awesome. Yeah.
But I'm glad that they at least had the wherewithal to play it on the 04 tour, the Rock the Nation tour, where they one of their last great tours with the last great set list that they
did. Well, that's probably a good set list, yeah.
Yeah. Sonic Boom had a pretty good set list, but 04 ruled. Anything for My Baby, like, I'm so glad that they put that on the box set. I think one of them, like, Paul doesn't even like that song, but someone's like, you sing amazing on it. That's your James Brown song. So it's a true gem in the Kiss catalog. So yeah, second half. And I know people, like, Dress to Kill is their favorite Kiss album, and I would never shit on that. It's a fun record. And like I said, like the first half, second half just blows it away.
I would say that the first three songs are probably the weakest three on it. Because it gets better. Getaway and Rock Bottom are better than the first three. Room Service is a fun song, but man, it's a pretty silly song. Yeah. We'll be right back. So I have, so since we're going, you know, big time artists, I'm going to grab one where like, it's the same kind of thing too with the, with Beatles, you know, you can go through that. You can go through.
So I didn't even touch that. I wanted to do the shock radio. I should have gone Beatles, man. Okay. What do you got? You got one?
So, you know, I looked through it and I was like, there's only one that I could say that the second half is so impressive. And again, big Beatles fan, but there's only one that the second half is so amazing that it trumps the first half, which is still strong, and that's Abbey Road. And let me go with my argument on that real quick.
The medley.
Of course, but it's got you know, first, what would start with the first? You're starting with Come Together, Something, Maxwell's Silver Hammer, Oh Darling, Octopus's Garden, and I Want You.
But that first half is pretty damn good.
Of course it is. But listen, Maxwell's Silver Hammer, Come Together is amazing.
I want to use an amazing sign closer because it does that swirl.
Yeah. Oh Darling's great.
Yeah.
I do think though that Maxwell's Silver Hammer and Octopus's Garden are a bit weaker on it, but here's why it's side two rules is my point. I still love it. Sure. But you start off with Here Comes the Sun, which is incredible, Because, which is such a unique song.
True.
Then it just goes into basically the medley. Which is something that I think has only been done almost equally once people attempt this by the Beastie Boys.
Yeah, exactly.
Two different genres.
That's where they did it.
Yeah.
When they started sampling off of it, that's probably where they got the idea. Like, hey, let's do that.
B-boy.
Bouillabaisse.
Bouillabaisse.
Yeah, it's a cooking term. Yes.
Exactly. So,
it's a stew.
I mean, you go, You Never Give Me Your Money, Sun King, Mean Mr. Mustard, Polythene, Pam, Came In Through the Bathroom Window, Golden Slumbers, Carry That Weight, into the greatest, like, I don't know, just ending, The End, which is fucking awesome. And yes, the Beastie Boys sampled that.
Yeah.
And I think
Never got
that medley.
Never got
sued. Maybe.
No, it Sounds of Science is where they sampled
that. That's right. That's where it was.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's such a, it always like, I was like,
oh, you hear it every time.
This is the true ending of like an era. I know that Let It Be was released after it, but to me, this signals the end, the perfect finale you could ever think.
But they recorded that last, Abbey Road. Because they weren't happy with Let It Be.
Right. Yeah.
So it's a true ender.
That's true.
Yeah.
But then the order of release or whatever is confusing.
Yeah, order of release is different. But that's the one they recorded last, and they've always said that they wanted to go out on a high note, and they did, and that's why they did the thing.
Now, I agreed with yours, but you don't have to agree with mine. It's hard to do a, like to me, it might be a push, because it's a push kind of like the Appetite for Destruction or something like that, where you're just like... Mm. But to me, it just seems like it's something they never did before, too.
Yeah, and I would say most people, if they had to choose, I think for sure they would go at the second half. So it's only like a half disagreement I have with you on this, because I think two divisive songs don't make a bad side. It makes it less than, because I would never give up any of those. I mean, I don't even hate John always said that Maxwell's Silver Hammer is Paul's grandmother material. And
well, it's about a killer, too.
Yeah, it's great. Steve Martin owns the version of this, though, for me. You've seen Sgt. Pepper? I mean, he fucking owns it.
Yeah.
But Octopus's Garden, and I actually like Ringo, but he doesn't make great records. I still don't mind Octopus's Garden, but if you do, it is weighted. It is definitely weighted. I'll give you that. So I'm going to give you at least an A for effort on that.
It's difficult.
At least you had the balls to go after a Beatles record for even remote consideration. So I'm giving you at least a golf clap on that one.
That's cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, but like I'm interested in your next one because it is difficult. Like I was going through. Let's go
you
through.
Literally some, like, forgot your other pick.
I was like thinking like
I drove from Texas for this, sir.
I know. like Alice in Chains. I'll just throw out, it was one of my favorites. No. Like even if I was gonna, like, I love the second half of Dirt, and it's got Wood on it too, however you want to think it should be included or not. It's still not better than the first half, the Damn the River and
The whole record's strong.
Trying to think of another big one, like Van Halen. I think that
Hit another name.
That's what I was wondering about. because, I'm trying like to think this, of which album it was. It can't be Van Halen 1.
No, and or 84. Or no. Honestly, despite the terrible opener, I'm a big Different Kind of Truth guy. Tattoo's the only bad song in there. And it's a
classic. If you go Dive Her Down. Nope. Okay, I was going to say.
No Roth. Okay, okay. You know, it's just cut really? It's Cut to the Crash. Wow. No Roth on here.
Okay. Oh, no. Fuck. Oh, you wait one too.
It's
no.
It is. You said fuck though. I thought
you meant
fuck.
No, I meant no. That's
you
funny.
You meant fuck. You mean
no. OU812 is the better half.
OU812, dude. Okay. This is the personal journey.
I'll go ahead.
On this. Okay, so I don't know how my brain works either, okay? But I know when it came out, I probably made my mom buy it for me at Sam Goody or Target or something.
Yeah, you're like, that's the picture I want our family to take at Olin Mills. Hey, you saw the album cover, right?
Yeah. I don't get the reference, but I think I
saw what you're cooking.
No.
Okay. It was like we were going to JCPenney. Yes. Yeah, okay. Okay. Same thing.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
So I get the album home, and I really like 5150. I'm one of those guys. I'm not anti-Van Hagar, but it ain't Dave, obviously.
Sure.
So, liked 5150 a lot. I get this thing home and I put it on. And, you know, like any Van Halen record, with maybe the exception of 3, even if the material is pedestrian, the music still rules.
Sure.
It's always a Van Halen record. It's always an Eddie Van Halen record. You listen to that first half. I think I listened to that A side over and over and over again as a kid, even. And when you're stuck with a record, and I never flipped it over for some reason, I still don't know why. I think I was trying to enjoy it, and I was forcing myself to try to enjoy this thing, because you're stuck, back in our day, you're stuck with that record for a month or two.
Yeah, like, you're examining it, you're trying to figure out what you want, you like, you don't.
Yeah, and even if it's supposed to be bad, you listen to it, because that's your record. I washed my mom's car for a whole month for this, you know, that kind of shit. You know, so it's like the songs aren't bad, I just kind of forget about them, like it's just like... And I never really dug When It's Love. I just...
Right. No, that was the one that I always got...
It's the launch single on this fucking record.
And that was the thing. And also, it was like, that's the one that I always confuse, because all of them have love in the title.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
That was the one that I was like, you know, I don't think I like that song, but the better version... Because don't they have two songs with love that were single on 5152?
Why can't this be Love and Love Walks In?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
do you ever see that Dave interview from like Classic Rock magazine from 100 years ago? It's one of the best print interviews of him ever, because you can hear his voice, and like this the interviewer is clearly trying to bait the Dave versus Sam thing, and it's some of the best Dave quotes, and that's saying something. He's like, yeah, I'm still not over getting kicked out. It's not like I got kicked out of Warrant. So yeah, so it's a great interview. But the other thing I took away from it that I still remember him saying is, the interviewer says, oh yeah, and then you just get songs like Why Can't This Be Sam, and he clearly says it wrong to bait him.
Yep.
And he goes, see, and then he goes third person, because he went like kind of weirdly third person. He goes, yeah, but Dave would never write Why Can't This Be Love, because Dave would just figured he had all his love stuff taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, dude, what a fucking savage.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm listening, like Love Walks In, and I never wanted to see that video ever again, because they played the shit out of that thing on MTV.
Was it black and white?
No, it's them playing in a bar. It's pseudo black and white. Like, it's kind of black and white, and it's not, you know, that kind of thing.
See, it's...
Because that was 1988. Everything's black and white.
And what was the third song? All AFU?
Yeah, and it's fun. It's right. That's the rock. But Mine Own Mind's a rocker, yeah. I know.
See, I like Cabo Wabo a lot. For some reason, I think of summer when I hear it.
Yeah, but it's a fun song.
Go ahead.
It's their Summer Nights sequel, and it's got a personal thing for Sammy, and I could dig that. And that's the last song on the A side.
Correct.
Then what happened was, weirdly enough, because I was a weird kid already reading music journalism, and Rolling Stone, my mom got me a subscription just to win Publishers Clearinghouse, and I still remember that Rolling Stone review, and the guy was like, before he even, right when you open the album, just flip it over and put on the B side and kick it off with Source of Infection instead. Because they were basically like, that should be the album opener. And it's got everything you want from this particular lineup. And it just checks off all the boxes for what you want in Van Halen.
I can see that.
And then as soon as I saw it, I turned and was like, holy shit. And then, like, around that time, Finish What You Started was kicking off as a single. That's on the second half.
Yep.
And I actually think Feel So Good is a better song than Love Walks In my opinion. Some people would probably definitely debate that, and I could hear their opinion on it. But yeah, no, it's just I think it's.
But let's forget you're bearing the lead in the last two tracks.
Black and Blue, man, is a fucking banger.
That's the reason I bought the album.
Yep, there you go.
I got Black and Blue, and then Sammy trashes that song. Oh, the lyrics or whatever. I'm like, are you kidding me? Yeah. When I was 14, I'm like, I'm going to do it till I'm Black and Blue?
Yeah.
I like this song.
Yeah. And then, by the way, I like Amsterdam. I don't give a shit else.
Amsterdam's not on that.
No, I know, but it's all balanced. But Eddie hates that one, too.
Oh, that's another good one.
Yeah, I know, right?
But the last song, though.
Sucker.
Give me a fucking break. Yeah. That's the 5150 of that album.
So you had it on vinyl. You're proving that you didn't have a political blues, which I didn't either.
Did not have that piece of shit song.
Weird as that. Little Feet.
Fuck that. It ruins the entire album. Like I didn't even know that thing existed until digital.
I almost didn't pre-order the new box set just because they were going to have a political blues on it.
Man. You're right. That second half is where it's at. That's another one that I forget about.
Oh, you ate one second half.
Yeah. That's the side.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, when side two. That's a better joke. Okay, I evolved the joke. Okay.
So yeah, still 51.
That's all I got.
So still, yeah. So quick on that. So mine goes, I think it goes in order. I think it just goes 5150, 08812, fuck, balance. I'm guessing that yours rearranges a little bit.
Massively. It's 5150,
yeah.
Balance.
Balance? That's got three instrumentals, bro.
I don't care. That all being said, yeah, me, 5150, balance, OU812, and fuck, because I think fuck is produced and engineered amazingly. It's worse Sammy album. Really.
Yeah, when people praise that album, like I used to think it was great, and then
it's because
it's single. All the singles are great, but then you're not even Pound Cake guy. Okay. I like Pound Cake.
The lyrics are so bad it does almost ruin it. Music's great. It's like Tattoo. It's no different than Tattoo for me. Judgment Day is great.
Yep, that one's great. Yeah. And then so is but like Spanked is terrible.
Oh, that's their worst.
Man on a Mission has a cool riff, but it's all right.
Yeah.
It's like I don't know. People forget. And then I do not like Right Now. I've never liked Right Now. A lot of people love it. It's just not for me.
It's just, and it's also so overplayed. I remember when I heard it the first time on the record, I didn't think I was much of it.
Yeah. Top of the World, it's okay.
Top of the World's fine, but they're obviously, I mean, ripping off the Jump outro riff. I mean,
sure.
That's, but I still like it. I'm probably because of that.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, the only, I think the main reason, there's two things that Fuck has going for it. It came out in 1991, and we're just all like, this is the, like you said, it's your best year ever for music.
Yeah.
So it gets to be part of that scene, in a sense. Yeah, it's another number one album. It's because OU812 sounds so fucking terrible. Like, it's produced and mixed so terribly, has the thinnest fucking sound. But I gotta say, Fuck has a huge, huge sound. Yeah. It sounds great, so.
Just the songs aren't there as much.
Yeah, the songs aren't there. Proof why you should not work on an album for a whole year. Rarely can you do an album over the course of a year that doesn't sound labored. That album is labored as shit.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so that's the end of that episode. Yeah. I don't have any.
We're gonna backload ourselves.
Yeah, nope, can't do that one either.
What do you think?
No, thinking? Nothing. I was just like, just because, no, that's not going to work either.
You're not going to shit on Sonic Boom again, are you?
No, that one might be backloaded. I don't even know how. No, it can't.
It does have the only song that remains in the set list on the back half.
So oh, I'd say yeah.
Yeah, the last song.
Okay, yeah. that's amusing. No, I was just trying to think about Purple Rain.
Perfect album, 100 points.
You can't do that on the second. That. You can't in the second half either. I was just trying to think of. Yeah,
because the first half rules too.
No, like, there's nothing wrong on that one. Yeah. What other monster ones out there that you could? Don't
shit on Monster either. I like Monster.
I don't shit on Monster.
Good. People hear with their eyes.
Yep.
Yes, they do. Thank you.
It is a terrible album cover.
Oh, dude.
The worst.
It's an that energy drink. You know they changed. You see they changed it recently.
Did they?
They obviously got.
Oh, the actual album cover has changed?
That graphic, the Monster graphic changed a little because it did look too much like Monster Energy.
Wow.
Yeah, go look at the new vinyl pressings of it.
Oh, see, yeah. Okay. I will look at it.
anyway.
I'm trying to think. I can't.
Dude, I wanted to do it. Like, here's the deal.
I thought there was going to be a revelation when I was looking through my albums, but it wasn't.
Well, my all-time faves, like Alice and Prince and stuff like that, I was really like, I want to bring one out.
Yeah.
Like, just to be shocking, but the bad ones are just bad.
Yeah.
Or it's every other song. Like, Load, Reload. Reload's just shitty.
Same thing.
Load is decent. So
and take that too. Same thing with Metallica. Like I could not find one too that it's just not there. Like I just.
Oh, and they have so many records too.
Yeah, well, it was pretty quick. Yeah. And even like let's go Thrash. I grabbed Megadeth. I grabbed Anthrax. Same thing. There really wasn't an argument to be made
because I don't count Fistful.
Yeah.
Stomp is their worst album in my opinion, and it's got all the stuff up front. You know.
Honestly. I grabbed Persistence of Time and Among the Living.
I almost went Persistence of Time, but there's too many good things on
there. There's too many good things in the front.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, Hell in My World and Keep It in the Family just for those.
Can't. That was the way it was the breaking thing. I was like, I can't because Keep It in the Family and My World is too much.
It's really hard. So I...
I'd love to hear from people. Want comments on this because there's got to be some that we're forgetting about.
Yeah. And like I said, none of the shit that we like personally... like
No Motley either. Motley is definitely front loaded.
I was gonna do it with Dr. Feelgood, and I was like, I can't do that. I'd be an asshole. Like Rattlesnake Shake sucks, but like nothing else kind of really does on it.
Yeah,
I can even defend Slice Your Pie just because it's just got that thing, you know?
Right?
Like
that's what I was like. I was like, that was the same thing. I was
what
like,
you want from them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then of course,
I want you. The I want you bit at the
end. Well, you also can't have. It ends with what's that terrible song at the end of
Time for Change.
Time for Change.
That's their We Are the Champions. Yeah. I mean, everybody needs one of those.
I guess it's just kind of there.
Although, like, weird calling their shot, wasn't it? Like in a weird way. Do you ever think about that?
Because that Time for Change, and then they change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at least he played bass on that one, right?
Oh, that's true. Yeah, yeah. That's right. That was when he finally got his bass chops up to par.
Yeah. But years ago, at a NAMM or something, I don't remember where. Don't quote me. But somebody was interviewing Tom Peterson on some clinic.
Sure.
And they asked me, and this some rando fan just joked, how do you play that 12-string bass? And he goes, it's kind of like Nikki Sixx's basses. They play themselves.
Yeah.
So, yeah, sidebar.
Yeah, but at least he's taking bass lessons.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Good for you, Nikki.
Yeah, yeah. It's good, never good, too late.
Never too late. Yeah, it's like trying to impress somebody. I started taking bass lessons in old age.
The George Foreman of bass players.
He's still at it.
This is, second half is going to be a banger, man.
Yeah, like, man.
He's just getting started.
Mm-hmm.
I even liked some of the 58 record. At least it was decently adventurous. Like I said, I mentioned this before we went on the air here. Mm-hmm. Like, at least like the old Alice albums, the drugged out ones.
Yeah.
Even if you don't like those albums, you can't say he didn't fail interestingly. Some people just fail and are just boring about it.
You know, it's funny you bring that up. We're just endless with a tangent that on Motley, and that is that I remember when liking the 58, most of the 58 record,
mm-hmm.
And then that was when they also put out
New Tattoo.
But I would tell you that I think that between the 58 and the New Tattoo, there was a decent Motley Crue album.
I'm with you on that.
And I think that he put his most interesting stuff on 58, and that's why New Tattoo maybe has three or four decent songs. Whatever. It's at least half an okay album.
All right.
I think we're done.
Late night sesh. You don't do too many late night shows anymore.
No, yeah. I don't. All right, you want to get out of here?
Yeah, sure. I know you got a busy day tomorrow.
Yes. Rock's not dead.
It's just front loaded.
Yeah! Kansas, she's not into football or fraternity dances. Don't care about her classes or the bad marks she gets. Spends all her time on the internet. Money's tight, you know, she's on an allowance. So she bought a little camera, put it up in the shower. Logged on to see you, see me. And there it was. Everybody wants a piece of candy. Everybody wants a piece of candy now. Everybody wants a piece of candy. Everybody wants a piece of candy now. Everybody wants a piece of candy. Everybody wants a piece of candy now. A piece of candy now. Oh, the demand was so high she got six more cameras. Now you got candy from every angle. Painting her nails on the edge of a bed. And faking with the boyfriend when he's giving her head. Yeah, 1,000 hits a day she didn't know. Chatroom superstar, old man logging hard and fast, just to catch a little peek of candies. Money rolled in, it was good for a while, then it got kind of freaky, you know, cramping her style. Old man said when she's out on the street, then her boyfriend split cause he couldn't take the heat. She started finding weird shit left in the mailbox. Little Bobby dolls are with their little Bobby heads cut off. Oh man, too much, too strange. And there was, figured it out, you know, that candy starved to death cause she wouldn't leave her house, no.